Good afternoon and welcome to Quality of Life Radio Show. This is your co-host, Ronald Zack from Ronald Zack Law. And we're going to be joined soon by co-host Dr. Jack McGettigan from the Quality of Life Medical and Research Center. And Quality of Life Medical and Research Center sponsors the show, and we provide medical and legal information, not advice, but it's educational and entertainment. You're welcome to call the show and join us with any kind of a question at 520-790-2040. And before we get going with some of our information, we have a guest today also, Yvonne De Los Reyes, who's going to be talking to us about research, the research arm of Quality of Life Medical and Research Center. And I understand Dr. McGettigan, you're out of town, but you are participating. Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Well, welcome. We're going to start with some legal and medical news you can't use. Legal and medical news you can't use, and really it's just any kind of news. Some stories that catch my eye that I think are useless and uninformative, and that my listeners are usually interested in. One article here: Florida authorities killed an alligator that was seen dragging around a human body. You may have heard about this. The alligator had been sighted with what looked like a person. He was holding onto a lower part of a torso, pulled it underwater. Someone threw a rock at it. The alligator was subsequently compassionately euthanized, and they did identify the deceased person. It was a 41-year-old woman. And there have been many alligator attacks on humans in Florida recently. So the humidity isn't the worst thing about Florida, apparently. Here's an interesting legal story. This is a Missouri high school teacher. She's been put on leave because from teaching high school because she was discovered to have a page on a porn site. I don't know that that's would exclude somebody from teaching, but apparently that's against the rules for this Missouri high school. She makes $42,000 a year teaching. Not a lot of money, but she makes $8,000 to $10,000 a month with her OnlyFans porn site. And she insisted that no content was filmed or posted while she was on school grounds. Well, that's interesting. And since she's been busted and put on leave and probably going to lose her job, she's gained about 100 new subscribers, and she's doubled her subscription price. So it was a windfall for her. Woman rescued from outhouse toilet after climbing in to retrieve Apple Watch. So this is really a public service announcement. And this was in Bagley Township, Michigan. And a woman was at a lake, Dixon Lake, and she was using the restroom, I guess like a porta potty sort of place, and she dropped her Apple phone in there, and she went in after it, and she had to be rescued. She was heard calling for help, and the toilet had to be removed, and a strap was used to pull her out of the toilet, and The police had released this message: if you lose an item in an outhouse toilet, do not attempt to venture inside the containment area. Serious injury may occur.
Ace Hardware has grabber tools for $19.95.
Very good. Don't we have a toilet flush sound we could use? I know
we might, but then it would take out all of your commercials, and I'm not doing that.
Okay. here, this is a story. I don't think this is a useless story. So there, this guy named Reza Baluchi. I don't know if you heard of him. There apparently had been a documentary made about him several years ago. He tried to walk from New York to Bermuda. He has a kind of a vessel that he's created. It's really referred to as a hamster wheel. It looks like a hamster wheel, and he can walk across the ocean with it, he believes. And he was recently stopped and arrested, because he was on his way to London. He was 70 nautical miles east of Tybee Island, Georgia. And the Coast Guard stopped him. Now, the Coast Guard apparently has some kind of jurisdiction out a certain distance and really anywhere if it's a U.S. citizen. And he's actually an immigrant from Iran, and he escaped the dictatorship in Iran, and now he's facing really what I think is tyranny in the United States. It's called a hydropod is this thing, and it does look like a hamster wheel, and you can kind of walk along in it, but. What's interesting, it's the fourth time that he's tried to make such a voyage and that he's been arrested and stopped by the Coast Guard. And they have charged him actually with crimes. And I think this guy's got pretty good defense. I can understand if there's an unsafe vehicle and you're endangering other people, but you're not. It's just kind of a sign of the times where authorities in the United States, the land of the used to be free, just think they can control everybody's life and nobody has any rights. This is something that we're going to talk about sometime on the show because I deal with this all the time with guardianships. There's so much guardianship abuse. People. Losing their rights, and I find some of the worst offenders are medical people, doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners, and so we're at war with all of those types. There's another one here. This was a fun story. This was in California, and these were two shoplifters. They're 24 years old and 19 years old, and they're entertaining to look at. I'm holding the photograph up to the microphone, if you can imagine what they look like. But they're in this nail store. It's a nail supply store, and they're kind of looking around at stuff, and then they gather a whole bunch of stuff. I think it was about $600 worth of stuff, and they go up to the counter, and then they bolt and ran out of the store. And so they kind of got away with the theft. But then one of the girls realized she had dropped her cell phone, and her credit card and her ID were in the cell phone case. And so she went back to get it. And she went back, apparently got it, I don't know, and then left again. And they did get caught, and they did get charged. But there's some good photographs there. Mommy blogger. There's a woman, Ruby Frank, who I know maybe some people are familiar with her. I'm not, but she's got over 2 million subscribers to her YouTube channel, and she gives parenting advice, and it's kind of a thing where they have people watching what they're doing at home, and she talks about her kids. Well, one of her kids escaped and was in a state of malnutrition, and she apparently had been abusive of all the kids. And some of her parenting advice was, and probably a lot like my parenting advice would be, and she was a little harsh with her kids. They said her parenting style could be described as Guantanamo-esque, and she punished her children by withholding meals, threatening to withhold meals. She said that her six-year-old should go hungry because she forgot to bring her lunch to school, and all perfectly reasonable disciplinary acts, I think. But she was investigated many times by CPS, who couldn't find anything wrong with what she did. But since this kid had kind of escaped and did show signs of abuse, she's been charged with 6 counts of aggravated child abuse, and you can't get on her YouTube channel anymore. I came across this thing about an airplane, because we do a lot of aviation things, because Dr. McGettigan is a pilot, and Veronica Sternitsky, my associate at the law firm, who sometimes is able to join us on the show, she's a pilot too. This is a story about a guy named Buzzy Peltola. He was a 57-year-old guy up in Alaska. Well, he died in a plane crash. He had gone moose hunting and had tried to fly back with, he had 500 pounds of moose meat in his little Piper, small Piper Super Cub. So it's a little, you know, I understand it's not even made out of aluminum. It's a fabric sort of thing.
Two seat,
yeah. But the seat was full of meat, and he had the antlers tied onto the wing. But he crashed and died. But the interesting thing was, he's married to a political figure. His wife Mary is just last year she was elected the first Alaska native in Congress, and she's in the U.S. House right now. But what was interesting, what caught my eye, was she replaced a Republican, Don Young, who died at age 88, and he died on an airplane too, but it didn't crash. He just died sitting in a seat. And he had been in the House of Representatives for 49 years,
mm-hmm.
and that's, you know, that's almost the only way you get out is to die, as we know, you know, and we'll pay a little tribute to Dianne Feinstein, who how long was she in the
that's interesting. She was mayor of San Francisco in 78. Mm-hmm. And she was elected to Congress subsequent to that. I think first to the House and then later to the Senate, I believe. No, maybe she went straight to the Senate. And I think she was elected in about 1990 or so. Oh, that's a good thing to look up, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's over 30 years. So that's interesting that we do elect people to Congress for life. Good for them.
Re-election rate is in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because they do such a good job. We like them. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about research with Ivan de los Reyes. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio Show, hosted by Quality of Life Medical and Research Clinic Center. And the co-host is Dr. Jack McGettigan and me, Ronald Zach. I'm an attorney. I'm also a nurse practitioner, and I see patients at Quality of Life Medical Center, and I see clients at Ronald Zach Law. We deal primarily with trusts and estates and probate litigation. I get some questions by phone. You're welcome to call 720-790-2040. I also get some text messages. Somebody texted me about the teacher who does the porn site and wanted to know which official discovered the site and if they're a subscriber. And the article said that it was reported. None of them wanted to admit having been surfing on that OnlyFans page. So that's that. And we have a caller. Thank you very much for holding, Suzanne. Before we we'll take a quick call before we get to our interview.
Okay. Ron, this is an update for the FEMA alert October 4th or October 11th. Attorney Todd Callender advises when FEMA airs the alert, just shutting off your devices allows for the frequency to still affect you. So he says, put the devices in a microwave oven, which is a Faraday cage, and go to areas where there's no 5G towers, such as the ocean, state or national parks, or a 2.5 mile radius around an airport. Callender has deeply researched 5G and the ties with COVID-19 vax for 2 years as he sued to stop the COVID-19 vax.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and people can look up that information, and we appreciate your calling. Thank you, Suzanne. And so we have a guest who's actually an employee, I believe, of Quality of Life Medical and Research Center. Dr. McGettigan, would you like to introduce and talk with Yvonne?
Well, yes, Yvonne, good to see you.
Hi, Dr. McGettigan, how are you?
I'm good. Hey, Yvonne's been with us, gosh, 20 plus years, working in research. Started off, I think, as a medical assistant, and quickly we grabbed her and encouraged her to help us in the research department. She's kind of become our local expert. And she has created some major waves over the years with us. An excellent employee, very nice mother, has a bunch of children I've met, great friend, and can't say enough good things about Yvonne.
Why, thank you.
And so, what Yvonne's role, what exactly do you do, Yvonne?
So I'm a site director for clinical research at Dr. McGettigan's office at Quality of Life Medical and Research Center. So my job is basically I'm responsible of the daily operations of the research studies, the flow of staff, and the trials just in general.
I know that you had, Quality of Life was one of the most active sites for the huge Moderna study. That must have been something. Was that pretty exciting?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. It was challenging. I learned a lot from that study. Just the changes, the whole pandemic, just, you know, the disease itself.
Is there, how does that compare to the other types of studies that you typically do?
Well, that's my first pandemic. So in 20 years of clinical research, that was definitely the largest study that I've ever worked on. We enrolled 1,000 plus patients into the trial. We worked 17 hour days, day in, day out, weekends. But here we are. We got a drug on the market, FDA approved, and it's currently being used.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the other studies that you're doing?
So right now we have two trials that are currently actively enrolling. We have a type 2 diabetes study. So we're basically looking for patients who are naive, who are not on any treatment for diabetes. They're kind of trying to control their diabetes with the diet and exercise. We also have another study that's it's a low back pain in conjunction with sciatica pain, and it's an epidural that they're offering with a drug that's already approved and out on the market for hypertension, but it's been turned into a pellet.
Really?
To be injected via epidural, yes.
Wow. And so that's something that those are the two studies you're currently recruiting
that's
for.
That's correct, yes.
And what are the benefits to the volunteers who volunteer for the studies?
So one would be you're helping participate in studies that, you know, just help out with new drugs for the future, for, you know, diseases that are there and haven't really been reviewed or diagnosed. Or it's the whole thought is just helping out with new treatments for many diseases that help people live longer, maintain certain symptoms more easily, and just the overall quality of life.
So for somebody in like the type 2 diabetes study, this would be somebody who's not on any medication, but has been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
That's correct.
And that diagnosis, is that made by their A1C? Is that?
So the diagnosis is, you know, they go see their primary care, they diagnose them via the hemoglobin A1C, which is an average of what their sugars have been doing over 3 months. Mm-hmm. For this particular study, they're looking for patients to have a hemoglobin A1C of 7.0 or greater on diet and exercise only.
Oh, okay. I'll keep my eyes open.
Yes, please.
We do have some people like that. We have a caller on the line, Martha. Martha, do you have a question for the guest?
I do. I'm actually a diabetic too, and I'm interested in what type of study is there for diabetics that are diabetic too, and at what age do you have to qualify for such a study?
So typically the studies start between age of 18 and older, up until 70, 80. For this particular study, we're looking for patients who are naive, that are not taking any medications. But you're more than welcome to look at the website, get into our database, and you know, if you happen to qualify for any studies in the future, we'll look you up, we'll give you a call, we'll do a full screening, and then we'll bring you into the clinic for an on-site screening.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Martha. And when Yvonne says they're looking for people who are naive, it what she means, of course, is naive from taking the medications. You can still be otherwise naive, but if you're a worldly, sophisticated person who just hasn't taken any medication, you may qualify too. So, Yvonne, what is the is there a website that they can go to enroll?
Yes, there is. It's www.qlmc.com.
Okay, and that's one place to look for the information. Is there also some kind of financial remuneration for these?
Yes, there is. So those patients that come in and screen and actually participate in the study, they do receive compensation for their time and travel. It's broken down per visit. It can range anywhere between $50 to $100 per visit.
Okay, well, I'm going to be eating a lot of sweets and try and get my A1C up. I'm not at any
It's not medication. Healthy. Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm still pretty low, my A1C. Now, if you have a cholesterol study, I may enroll in that.
And again, that's QLMC.com, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Quality of Life Medical Center. Yeah, QLMC.com.
Just want to make sure people hear QLMC.com.
Thank you very much. And of course, and I did not introduce Charles Heller, who's working our board for us, doing a wonderful job as always. And everybody knows Charles.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
That's right.
Can I ask a question of Yvonne?
Please.
Can I sneak one in?
As many as you want.
Since you've been working, Yvonne, what, besides the Moderna trial that you talked about and the two that we're currently enrolling for, what other studies have you found to be interesting from the perspective of, you know, just as the coordinator that you maybe didn't even know we did research on?
Well, I think 20 years ago when I first started doing clinical research at the clinic with you, it was, we did a lot of hormone replacement and sexual medicine. And, you know, being 18 in a clinic with sexual medicine was not a topic that I wanted to hear you guys talk about or be involved in. So I think for me, the sexual medicine, hormone replacement therapy, that has been the biggest and most intriguing and interesting piece for me in clinical research. And as you know, we've done 5+, you know, hormone replacement, Viagra studies, female Viagra studies over the years that have been very intriguing. And you just learn a whole lot about this whole, you know, endocrine system and just every other piece of your body that you wouldn't even think had played a role in some type of, you know, your day-to-day lives. So.
And what stories have you heard from participants about being involved in research that maybe they didn't realize, you know, because I know when most people have been in studies with this, it may be their first study, and I think a lot of times their thoughts of what it's going to involve and what in reality it is are two different things. But do you have any stories that you might share regarding that to share with the audience?
Yeah, I do. I have a few patients that are frequent flyers is what we call them, who, you know, they initially came to our site 10 plus years ago wanting to participate in a diabetes study, I should say. And these patients wound up, you know, ending up in the Moderna study at some point. And, you know, when they first came in, they were patients of the clinic and they were referred to the research, you know, center for a study. They had a new onset of diabetes. And this gal was like, you know, I'm not interested in that. You guys are just trying to, you know, I don't want to be your rat to do studies on. And I think it was you, Dr. McGinn, that talked her into, you know, just give it a try, get in there, talk to them and see what they can do for you. Well, at the time, the lady had lost her insurance. So she no longer was able to afford her medical care or her medications. And we just happened to have a diabetes study that she qualified for. So when she came in, she was kind of skeptical and was like, you know, this just seems kind of weird. It doesn't seem normal. And we sat with her, we talked to her about the whole study, the whole process and what it consisted of. And she wound up being a participant in the study and she went through the whole year and a half in the study, did great. You know, she received basically free medical care, free physical exams, free blood work, free follow-up. She got to see a real doctor along with getting medication. So once the year was up, she was so thrilled. She was like, oh my God, I want to keep doing this. You guys were such a great site. Your staff was so pleasant. You guys were very helpful and you guys actually helped me through the entire process of the clinical trial. So that's pretty awesome. You know, that drug eventually made it to the market. Can't remember what the name is right now, but she's currently using it. She's still an active patient at our site. And she just loves coming in. So every time she comes in, she, you know, like, where's Yvonne? Where's the research team? I got to get there and say hi to them and, you know, thank them that I'm doing so well and, you know, so forth. So, you know, there's a lot of patients that are very skeptical in the beginning of participating in a research study just because there's, you know, they read a consent form and the consent form can be a little scary at times. It basically tells you the ins and outs of the clinical trial, anything and everything you want to know about the study. And you know, there is stuff in there that scares them just because they got to make sure that the patient is aware of what the possible side effects are.
Well, any consent form's scary. We're going to continue more on this same topic when we come back from this break. Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio Show, hosted by Dr. Jack McGettigan and Ronald Zach, a physician and a principal and research investigator is what Dr. McGettigan does. And Ronald Zach, myself, I'm an attorney in estate planning, probate litigation, and also I'm a nurse practitioner, and I do primary care at the Quality of Life Medical Center, and I also do some hormone replacement therapy as well. We're going to be having... Excuse me. We don't have a cough button here. We used to have a cough button. We're going to be having an open house. It's coming up very soon, October 5th at 5 p.m. It's going to be at the Quality of Life Medical Center, which is on Erickson Drive, 5390 Erickson. So it's like Craycroft and Grand area. And this is going to be to talk about some of the hormone replacement therapy, particularly the BioT method that we follow and have a lot of respect for. You can call to RSVP to this. You can call 520-547-0572. We're going to have healthy snacks. Hopefully we'll have some unhealthy snacks and there'll be a lot of good information and you'll get to meet people who are receiving that treatment. We're here right now with Yvonne de los Reyes, the research director at Quality of Life, and Yvonne, you were talking about the patients that have participated in studies and the benefits that they've received from them. Did you want to add anything else to that thought?
No, I think that's all.
Okay. And Dr. McGettigan, did you have another few questions for Yvonne?
Well, and to answer the question that she sort of answered regarding, you know, patients' participation, one of the things that it was very intriguing, I think, when we did the Moderna study, was the amount of folks who volunteered to help with that study. I think we ended up having over 4,000 Tucsonans mostly who stepped up and wanted to help us. We unfortunately couldn't take that many, but many of them were medical folks, the doctors, nurses, ER personnel, radiologists, ambulance drivers. I couldn't believe how many people who were on the front lines were stepping up. And for a lot of them, the other people that stepped up, you know, I asked them when they came in, you know, why were they doing this? And so many people, they weren't obviously doing it from the perspective of wanting to make any money. Matter of fact, most of them said, I don't want anything. But so many people felt helpless during that time, as many of us probably can recall. And for many folks, I'm hoping maybe this will be helpful. You know, maybe this will be something I can do to help this horrible situation we're all finding ourselves in. And that was a unique perspective. I think for a lot of patients, when they come into research, some of them are doing it because they happen to have, a situation where they'd like some help. And there's a drug that maybe is going to offer something for them that the current ones maybe don't, or in some cases there aren't any drugs out there. We did a study recently looking at a very kind of an orphan type disease, and those come up occasionally too. But I would just encourage the listeners, if they have any interest in helping us in the future, to certainly look us up on the website, call into the clinic. Put your name on the list if you ever want to come in and potentially be in a study. There's a tremendous amount of information we're going to give you before you would ever participate. And one of the things that's interesting that I've told patients or potential subjects in the study is it's not like joining the military when you come into research. Once you sign a consent to help us, it's not like we've got you and you can't get out. Any reason, you know, to not participate, if something comes up, you're going to be out of that study. You're volunteering, but you can remove that volunteerism at any time, which is, I think, something that maybe some people perhaps are concerned about. Once again, we kind of have them, but that's just not the case. And we never want anybody to participate if they have a second thought or something happens that they just change their mind.
I have a question for Yvonne. What would you tell people who would like to get involved in the work that you're doing? What would you say to somebody who was your age when you started? What would you tell them?
Well, you know, medical has changed over the last 20 years. So, you know, 20 years ago when I first started doing this, medicine was not the way it is now. The criteria was easier. The protocols were easier. We were able to get patients in easier. And over the years, just the FDA has really cracked down and kind of, you know, buckled down on the criteria and the protocols and what the requirements are on bringing patients into the study. So for someone who is 18 and trying to get into it, be prepared. It's a huge workload. It's fun. It's intriguing. You definitely get the achievement of, you know, knowing that you're helping the future quality of life of people, new drug treatments, bringing new drugs to the market, period, just across the globe. So I think that's the awarding part for me.
Do you ever see like an ad on television for a particular drug and say, wow, I helped bring that to market?
Oh, yes. There's been many, hundreds. We've done more than 200 clinical trials across the board.
I thought about it, but I'm not going to ask about the different motivation between somebody who wants to participate in a study for a vaccine to protect people from what they believe is a deadly pandemic virus, and the people who wanted to participate in the Viagra study. But I imagine their motivation levels were a little bit different. But we're gonna continue some with Yvonne on some other questions when we come back from this break. Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio Show, hosted by Dr. Jack McGettigan and Ronald Zach. And we're talking with Yvonne de los Reyes, who's the director of research at Quality of Life Medical and Research Center. What I did want to, before all of our time gets away, wanted to wish a happy birthday to the person I think is the best ex-president we've ever had. I didn't feel that way about his presidency, but it's Jimmy Carter's 99th birthday today. Just an incredible man, and he did become a truly great ex-president. So happy birthday, Jimmy. 99, soon to be 100. So Yvonne, it's important when you're doing these studies to have a lot of diversity among your subjects, isn't it?
That is correct. And just because people may experience the same diseases differently. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the race, ethnicity, people come from all different characteristics of life, just lived experiences, living conditions, age, just their whole medical history, their family medical history, just kind of what's in their blood. So it's important that all the communities can benefit from scientific advantages moving forward. Mm-hmm. And that was something that the FDA kind of came down in probably the last 2-3 years, Dr. McGettigan, if I recall, where they kind of got real big on the diversity group of patients participating in the studies.
Yes.
Vaccine trials.
Oh, is he there?
I haven't seen it.
There he is.
Quite. Okay. We couldn't hear you for a second.
Me?
Now we can.
Oh.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. With the Moderna study, that was huge. And it's getting to be a big thing, apparently, going forward, too. There was another question I had for you, Yvonne, that I was hoping you might just touch on for all of our listeners out there, that even though they maybe don't have diabetes and or sciatic pain, there's some other studies that I know you are aware of that may be coming our way. I don't know if you could rattle off a few of the other indications that we're going to be looking for people for, assuming we get the studies.
So right now we have seen some COVID-19 vaccine trials that are coming up again, and these are all looking at patients who have received the COVID-19 vaccine, whether it be Pfizer, Moderna, whatever the pharmaceutical company is, and they're looking just at long-term effects. So that's one study that you could potentially sign up for and potentially participate in. We have a high cholesterol study potentially in the works. We also have a high blood pressure study potentially in the works. And then we also have it's another diabetes study, but this diabetes study, you can already be on some type of treatment for it.
When we're always looking for patients that maybe have a condition that maybe isn't one of those things, and if people are interested in potentially participating, if they wanted to call up and, you know, give us their contact information and we get something, or sometimes when we get enough people that, you know, say, hey, I've got this rheumatoid arthritis issue, or I've got psoriatic psoriasis, et cetera, you know, that gives us an indication that sometimes, you know, we get asked by different companies if we would have the patient population. So please, anybody that's listening that might be interested, give us a call. If you'd like to participate in studies in the future, we will add you to our database and reach out to you if we do get those studies in the near future.
Yeah, it's always great to reach out to us, give us your information, get you into the database. I mean, you may have something that... even if you're just healthy, that's important too. We do conduct some healthy studies here and there. So we always look for patients that are healthy, you know, to participate in these studies. It's a real quick questionnaire. They get your name, phone number. We kind of get your medical history. We don't sell our information. It kind of stays within the clinic and specifically used for this purpose.
And is the best way to contact you through the website?
Either phone or website. So our phone number is 520-731-2333, and that directs directly to the research center.
Okay, so 520-731-2333, and they can call, anybody can call that number if they're interested in one of these current studies, if they're interested in a future study.
And if they just have questions in general, feel free to give us a call. We're more than happy to talk to you, walk you through the steps, give you a little bit more information. If there's anything that we didn't go over here now, give us a call.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. And then there is the website, QLMC.com.
Correct.
Okay. And you can access Yvonne and the clinic that way too. And I think Dr. McGettigan had kind of alluded to the fact that you've done studies on that have involved some pretty obscure disease entities, haven't you?
There's been quite a few, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's not, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. We all have all of those.
Yeah.
But
There's been IBS, some prostate cancer, HPV, women's health, fibrosis. We've done some device studies. We've tested some, you know, devices on gonorrhea, chlamydia, things like that, STDs.
Mm-hmm.
Migraine headaches,
ankle sprains, back
strep
pain,
throat.
Strep throat. We've kind of done a whole variety of clinical trials.
Kind of amazing how much advertising there is on television for some of the products, especially migraine. Maybe you could address that for the last minute and a half of the show, Dr. McGettigan.
Well, I would love to address it. We haven't done any recently, and that's certainly not an area I would consider myself an expert in. And I'm not even sure which ones. I don't watch much TV, so I'm not sure which drugs you might even be referring to.
Me neither. I don't write them down. I don't have migraines, so I don't really pay attention. But there's a heck of a lot of, in fact, if you watch the Star Trek series or some of the other, like police procedure, maybe it's police procedurals that I'm watching that just cause migraine headaches. I don't know, but and that's why they place them there. But there seems to be an awful lot of it. How big a problem is that societally?
Migraine headaches?
Yeah.
Well, that actually is a pretty big problem. I think it's along with back pain and hypertension. Anybody in primary care is definitely getting people with headaches. I know personally way back when I unfortunately suffered from them. I'm one of the fortunate ones, though, who over time, in men, a lot of times they'd go away. But for some people, they are very debilitating, and they can, you know, not only is it just make your day horrible, but you can't work. I mean, you end up missing a lot of work, hard to take care of your family. So the newer drugs that are coming out, there's always promise that maybe some of the ones that haven't worked previously for somebody, something that's coming out maybe the answer for them. So anybody who's having any issues, any health issues, certainly reach out to us, reach out to other research facilities. You can go on, Yvonne, help me with the website for
www.qlmc.com.
No, not that, but just to look up clinical trials in general, if somebody's interested to see if there's a trial.
NIH.com.
NIH.com.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different places you can go to get a sense of what's currently being looked at. And there are literally, I think, 2,000 or 3,000 studies currently being run throughout the U.S. at any given time. And we've had up to, I think, 20 studies sometimes that we're currently involved with in the past. And it just tends to run a little bit of a cycle. We're about to enter a new cycle, I believe. Usually around the first of the year, things heat up again, and there are a lot of new studies coming out.
Yes.
A new cycle?
Well, just the pharmacies, you know, they are the pharmaceutical companies that support these drug studies, which is what most of these are. They tend to run a cycle throughout the year where at the beginning of the year, they'll start up a bunch of new studies. And towards the end, right, like we're heading now into the end of the year, things kind of slow down with regard to new ones starting up. I think it has to do with budget years, and federal government works a little bit like that too. So you'll see more
new studies opening typically that first and second quarter of every year. Then you might see, it seems like, later on in the year. And then some of them do get postponed for one reason or another, so that can throw things off a little bit. But it's a very interesting aspect of medicine. The thing that really attracted me to it was, after years of work in the ER and seeing people with, you know, issues that I could kind of fix kind of one at a time, research offered me an opportunity to begin to work with things that help not just one person, but literally thousands, and in some cases millions of patients could benefit from the work that's being done. And that was just a nice change of pace. So.
It's nice to help people.
Well, I think that's why we end up, those of us in medicine, hopefully end up there. That's one of the big attractions, is making a difference, and a good difference, hopefully, in people's lives.
Okay.
Certainly has been rewarding to me. I know, Yvonne, you've had the same feeling, and Ron, being a nurse practitioner now versus an attorney, there's certainly, I mean, both things that you're involved in, as an attorney helping the elderly folks, that's going to be rewarding too, and their families, along with now, you know, helping patients as a primary care provider.
So we have we're in like our last minute and a half of the show. Yvonne, are there any parting words you'd like to bring up to the audience?
No, just thank you guys for having me here today. And again, if you guys have any questions to our audience, just give us a call, look at our website, and get in our database.
So again, the website is QLMC.com, Quality of Life Medical Center, QLMC.com. And the phone number for the research division is 520-731-2333. And we are going to be having the open house on October 5th at 5 p.m., and next week, we're going to be having a guest. Robin Coates is going to be here next week, and she's going to be talking about placement issues for people with dementia. She's a placement coordinator who helps people with dementia find appropriate settings where they can live and be comfortable and well cared for if they're not able to remain at home. So that should be an interesting show. Again, Quality of Life Radio, thank you so much for listening. Look forward to hearing from you, seeing you again over the radio next week. Thank you so much.